That's the first time I've seen it.
Okay, I'm just going to test this to be sure it's working all right. And if you can just say a few words to me in Arabic, maybe.
مرحبا أهلا وسهلا.
Which means?
Which means hello and you are welcome in my house.
Ah. Do you know Arabic as well? You must have.
See, mine speak with a Cuban accent, so we won't mention my Arabic. We just let mom do the talking.
Okay, now I'm going to play that back. Let's see now. I just wanted to say that this is December 4th, and I'm over here on Whittington Drive with Mrs. Is it Farman?
Farman, yes.
Yeah. And your name is Helen, and you're her daughter?
My Arabic name is Maha.
Ah. How do you spell that?
Better. M-A-H-A.
Mm-hmm. And Nuhad is your
name. Nuhad, uh-huh.
Can you tell me, I just wanted to ask a few questions about your background. Can you tell me when you were born? When's your birthday?
Okay, that's my secret, but that's all right. I'll share it with you. September 30th, 1938.
Mm-hmm.
And in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. It used to be Palestine then.
Mm-hmm.
It's now Israel.
And you were how old when you came to this country?
I was 21 years old.
How did you happen to come? What was the factors that made you leave your country?
My husband was here originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back home to visit his family, and he met me. And fell in love and got married and then came back here.
Mm-hmm.
I came with him here.
How did you happen to pick Jacksonville to come to?
Well, my husband was here. His father before him was here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big group of our people that immigrated to the States. Some of them came here, some to other states.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what attracted them to Jacksonville, but he was here and he followed his father.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't realize it went back. Well, even two generations.
Oh, yes. My father-in-law, as a matter of fact, he spent about 48 years in the States. Most of his life he spent it here.
Hmm. Was he involved in any particular business?
He was a door-to-door salesman.
Mm-hmm.
They used linen and rugs and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
tapestries. And he used to travel all over, not just in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He didn't come to Jacksonville till the middle 50s, I think, around 55 or, no, a little before,
but
around
52. He was mostly in Florida?
Most of the time, no. He was in Georgia, in Alabama, other states.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come to Jacksonville, to Florida, till the 50s,
mm-hmm.
because his sister moved here. My husband's aunt and her husband, they lived here.
Mm-hmm.
They were in Atlanta before.
Mm-hmm.
They had a Persian rug company in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold it and they moved to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So her brother followed her and stayed here.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your own family growing up in Bethlehem. How big was your family to begin with?
Not really big. On my mother's side, it's a big family. But I do not know except two aunts and one uncle. Because most of them immigrated to South America in the 19th century and 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
It was before the First World War.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, my mother, she met one of her brothers and sister for the first time when she came to South America in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time she met them.
Mm.
She wasn't even born when they left.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a big family. They are all in South America and Peru and Chile, Colombia, all over.
Mm-hmm.
And on my father's side, I have only three uncles and two aunts. I have they were in Kuwait after the war. They went to Kuwait, one to Beirut, Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my aunt was in Iran and then in Kuwait with her husband working. Now they immigrated. They are San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
One uncle and my aunt and her husband, and another uncle. He's in Los Angeles, California. I have one brother. He's in South America, in Ecuador.
Mm.
One sister. She after the war, she lived with her husband in Beirut, Lebanon, for
mm-hmm.
about 17 years, and then they immigrated here, and she is living at the time being with her daughter in Texas, Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband passed away.
Yeah, he did. He passed away about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So So your family is really spread all over.
All over. I have one aunt and a great aunt in Bethlehem, whom I visited this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my husband's family in Ramallah. It's about 8 miles from Jerusalem.
Hmm.
I went and visited them this summer, too.
Hmm. I think I will plug this in because I think the batteries may be a little weaker than I thought. So. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
Quiet, keep you.
See, this is a tape recorder over here. We're just talking about all kinds of things.
He can hear you on the tape.
That's right.
Go to the other room.
You're going to save it, yeah. Okay. If you want to say something, you can. No? Okay.
Tell him about she went this summer too with me.
Well, I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah.
Like
tell him about how you liked it and the holy places that we went to.
Where churches were nice. Mm-hmm.
Other than that. And she met my aunt and my great aunt and cousins that I haven't seen for over 36 years.
Hmm. Wow. This is the first trip back in all that time?
The first trip. I've been here 24 years.
Yeah.
And that's the first trip. They had left, some of them to Australia and some of them to England.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen for a while. Both of them, they're married to Englishmen.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved a long time ago that I haven't seen them. So it was really great.
Hmm.
I enjoyed it.
Did you stay
trip.
A long time when you went?
8 months.
I stayed 8 weeks eight altogether. Weeks. Mm-hmm. About 6 weeks I stayed in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went 1 week to Greece.
Mm.
I liked it too. It was nice.
Oh, it sounds like a nice long trip.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a different world.
Yeah. I stayed long enough for me to earn that 24 years.
Yeah,
it was the first time that I've seen my family, you know, the ones that are left back home.
Mm-hmm. Did it remind you strongly of when you were there and living there before you came to America?
It's a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
but it sure did remind me because I've seen my friends too, and we were reminiscing the old times and mm-hmm. school days and all that.
Yeah.
But it has changed a great deal, buildings and... Bethlehem used to be a small town, beautiful, peaceful town.
Mm-hmm.
It has changed, too many buildings and all that, too much commotion.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It should have stayed the way it was, especially for its, religious meaning
mm-hmm.
and value.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken away, you know, especially in front of the Church of Nativity. It used to be beautiful over there. Nothing, you won't see nothing now
mm-hmm.
except the old buildings. How, at the time of Christ, exactly. That's when I left. Now there is like a big mall and shopping area and all that. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't go with Bethlehem and you know, it's religious standing, really.
It's like that in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem, too.
Funny.
But Jerusalem, you know, the old city is still the same. And we are used to that. Jerusalem, it's different because it has the wall. It's protecting the old city. You cannot improve much about the old city. It's still the same like it was a long time ago. Come of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the outside, you know, new city, New Jerusalem, it's always been like that. It was beautiful all along. Bethlehem, no. It stayed as a small. They wanted to keep it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You go in the streets, you see how the streets are in what you call it, St. Augustine, how it is, the blocks,
brick.
All of it, brick.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the streets were in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot drive all over. Just few streets you can drive your car.
Yeah, yeah.
Other you have to go walking. It's not like that anymore. They're tearing all the old buildings and building new, big buildings, beautiful buildings and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice in a way, but not for its meaning. No, not Bethlehem. No,
mm-hmm.
no.
The other day when we were talking at the restaurant, you were telling me about learning about embroidery when you were very young.
Yes.
About how old were you when you started?
I was about not quite 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tradition, you know. Once a girl, you know, starts knowing things, and you know, her mother or her aunt or grandmother, whoever, set her down. Okay, this here you have to do it. She'll sit her and teach her the first steps. In embroidery, and I have pieces ever since I was 10 years old.
Hmm.
Every piece, after I finish it, my aunt, she used to wash it, starch it for me, iron it, and save it, and write on it with a piece of paper how old I was and what grade I was in,
mm-hmm.
and save it with me, so when I get married, I'll get it as part of my trousseau.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I have it. I have lots of embroidery that I had done ever since I was 10 years old.
Hmm. Was it common to start that early?
Yes, yeah. It's common. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, it all depends upon the...
My aunt's a fanatic.
Yes, she is. Very much so.
On a lot of different things. Yeah.
Yes, she was a teacher. She had graduated, and the time, I mean, according to her age, very seldom you see a woman graduating from a university. Mm-hmm. She graduated from the American University of Beirut, mm-hmm. and she was a teacher, and she was a Girl Scout leader. And when she used to wear her costume, you know, the Girl Scout outfit, mm-hmm. and the hat and all that, and walk in the street to catch a bus or a car to go to Jerusalem because the headquarters wasn't in Bethlehem. All the women and men, as a matter of fact, at that time, they used to stand outside and stare at her, look at her. She's dressed like an army man, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because it's to them, you know, women are not supposed to be dressed like that, and they're not supposed to you know, to be like the way she presented herself. She was always outgoing and working and had her own job, making good money, better than a man. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she was, like she said, very fanatic, and she'll put me, I wasn't allowed to go playing or having fun with the girls. No, you have to sit down and do your embroidery
practical
and do
yeah. and
cooking and sewing, cooking and reading. I have to have a summary about everything I read mm-hmm. to make sure that I did read it.
How did you feel about all that at the time?
I hated that. I did. I told her, I reminded her of that when I went. So I said, I hated that, really. Mm-hmm. Because I was deprived of so many things that other girls my age had, you know, got to do, and I wasn't allowed to. Mm-hmm. She was very strict.
For it now.
It is. Mm-hmm. It paid off. Mm-hmm. It paid off. But I'm not trying to impress, I mean, to object my girls. Mm-hmm. I did not, because I hated it. So I was a little bit more lenient with them than my aunt was with me. Mm-hmm. She raised me, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. What was the first embroidery you did, do you remember?
Yes, I have it with me. Mm-hmm. One of them was a hand towel. Because, you know, the stitch is bigger. It's easier for mm-hmm. me. Because our embroidery, it's cross stitch. And you have to count the threads. So she got me one that will be easier for me. It's a hand towel. And another one, it's a handkerchief bag mm-hmm. that I did. And then graduated to doing bigger things and more complicated things.
Did she have any kind of patterns for you to go by?
Yes, there's a pattern that you have to follow. You have to count every stitch by stitch mm-hmm. in order to do it. I'll show you later on some. And you have to count the threads. You have to count every stitch by stitch. You have to do mm-hmm. it. And for the material, that's very hard to count the threads. For instance, like this one here, it will be very hard, difficult. We used to have a piece applied to it right where we're going to embroider mm-hmm. with bigger stitches, mm-hmm. bigger lines.
Yeah.
It will be easier for us to count. And after we finish the embroidery, all we do is just pull the threads out, take it out mm-hmm. to make it easier.
Mm-hmm. The pattern that she showed to you, was that something written down or just something she had in her head?
No, it's written down. Mm-hmm. And she used to copy. She, as a matter of fact, right now, she has a big center in Bethlehem
oh, yeah.
that does embroidery work. Mm-hmm. And she sells that. That's her only source of living right now because she's old. Mm-hmm. And it's her hobby. Home. She was a home economic teacher plus a physical ed teacher and embroidery and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she used to supervise different schools all over the West Bank mm-hmm. at my time.
Mm-hmm. Were these skills that and the patterns, the designs, ones that were practiced by all the people around, did it seem?
Yes, mm-hmm. most of the people. Mm-hmm. She had some of her own because she was, like I told you, the type that would sit down, imagine things, very artistic. Mm-hmm. She had her own patterns and she used to draw them on the... piece of cloth, you know, she'll draw mm-hmm. it and she'll give it to you, or friends will come to her and ask her to draw them some. And she used to do that and give it to them. Mm-hmm. And very, very neat. I wouldn't, if I had one knot in the back, you know. She'll make me rip the whole thing and do it all over again. I don't even think about that.
What sorts of things would you make? Well, you tell me about the first piece that you made. What other types of articles would you
make? Like runners, tablecloths, pillowcases, stuff like that, pictures, you know, to hang. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I told you. You remember when you came to the store, I told you I have something in the car. I should have showed it to you then. I had taken it with me that day to have it framed.
Oh, yeah.
Three beautiful pieces. I stopped today because you called me yesterday. I stopped by the frame shop today to see if they are ready, just to bring them and show them to you. But they were not ready yet.
I'll see them another time.
They are beautiful.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, big pictures. One of them, it's a caravan of camels. Mm-hmm. And another one, it's a map. Another one, it's not no original. It's Home Sweet Home. That's nothing, you know. But the basic colors, Palestinian basic colors were the red and black and blue and black. Most of the embroidery, you find it in this color originally. And they started adding. I don't know. It has a meaning. And each pattern had a meaning, like with the Greeks, you know, and all that. Mm-hmm. Each pattern, each figure had meaning. The same thing with the embroidery. I wish I studied that. I did not. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about that.
Mm, that's very interesting.
I wish she's here. We'll ask her then. She will explain everything to you.
Yeah, yeah.
My aunt. She's something else.
Mm. Let's see. Now, you were telling me a little bit about decoration of clothing, embroidery use on clothing.
Yes.
Would that be just on women's clothing or men's as well?
No, the embroidery, it's for women and children, not men. I have on my bed, please, Mama, my dresses, you know, the long dresses and the headpiece and one of Moose's, you know, it's on the bed. Just bring it. Let him see that.
Yeah, bring some things in. We can talk about
it. I wanted to show him.
But it was always the women's and
the children's. Yeah, the woman, Mm-hmm. And they have special dress for weddings. Mm-hmm. They used to wear it for the wedding. That will be full of embroidery all over. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, they used to prepare their burial dress too, a white long dress that's the ladies all embroidered white, and they'll save it. Mm. When they're young, they'll have it done, and they'll save it until the day they die, they wear that. Each costume, each dress had used to be worn for one occasion or another.
Mm-hmm. I love this stuff. Let me see. I'll show you this. Yeah. This is the best part of the whole thing. Mm.
That's the headpiece that I told you about.
Yeah.
The women over there still wear this too. It kills
That's
me.
That's in Ramallah. In Bethlehem, no, it's a shame.
No, in Ramallah they do. And they wear that still,
see,
too.
See, that's the dress. That's the Ramallah.
That's velvet, though.
Yeah, they have it in velvet. They wear it for weddings, for going to church, for occasions. And you wear this belt over it. See how it is?
Wow. Now, this is your dress?
That's mine. Mm-hmm. I asked for it, and they sent it to me.
This is one that your aunt made?
Or no, not my aunt. That's from my in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
See, like this material, you cannot embroider on it like that because it will be very hard. So we put
like a grid or something?
Yes.
Like squares and things over
it? No, it's a long piece. You get it by the yard, you buy it.
Yeah.
And just apply it where you want to embroider.
I see, yes.
And then you start pulling it by the thread. It has what you call, I don't know, it's like canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start taking it after you embroider over it so you'll be able to count. See how it is?
Yeah.
It's squares, small squares. You have to count it. Then you start pulling each thread by thread after you finish.
Mm.
Like this dress, it used to be worn for... I didn't do it exactly like they do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the basics. You know, it's fuller. You will see the other one. That's the original. I have another one.
Did you do the embroidery on this?
No.
Okay.
They send it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
But I do that.
Mm-hmm.
That
we just laid on that chair over there.
Does that dress have a particular name? Dress.
Just mukhmal.
Uh-huh.
Just mukhmal, no.
Mm-hmm.
There is one, they call it the malak.
Yeah.
That's worn for weddings And the bride, she used to wear it for, that was a long time ago now, not my time, mm-hmm. mind you.
Yeah, yeah.
She used to wear it for her wedding day. And then afterwards, she'll wear it just for occasions, for instance, baptism or going to one of her relatives' wedding mm-hmm. with it. Beautiful, it will have all the gold threading all over the material, plus the embroidery and all that mm-hmm. on it.
Now, this one, again, would be a more typical, everyday type thing?
No, for parties, for going, you know, not for work, no.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
every day. That's the one for every day. That was my mother-in-law, and I asked him to send me, after she passed away, please, I told them, mm-hmm. I want my daughters to have
that.
Hello,
Mr. David.
How are you?
All right, sir, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, sir.
Join us if you like.
Thank you, sir.
See? The kind of material, and that's the dress. See, this is how they do
that's
it. That's an everyday dress.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. See the sleeves,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get you now the pins. It's gold piece they put over it, and the earrings, everything. It used to be matching, you know, with this, with any outfit.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice.
That's the everyday now.
Yeah.
Simple, supposed to be simple. That's the simple now everyday piece.
Yeah.
A dress, I mean.
But that's one with that.
And that's the one, they'll have one with fake money.
Mm-hmm.
That's silver,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
That's worn every day. And this is embroidery too. When it gets dirty, they rip it out and they wash it. It could be ripped. See how mm-hmm. it is stitched?
Oh, yeah.
It will be ripped out and washed and then applied back again. See, mm-hmm. look at the embroidery on the back.
Mm-hmm. This is the front here?
That's the back.
Oh, that's the back.
This is how it's worn.
Oh, I see. Well, that's nice.
Heavy, and then they have a shawl over it.
Uh-huh.
A long shawl over it. I don't have that. That's my next project. I'm working on that. And then for weddings or going to church or visiting, they used to have another one. That's for every day now. They used to have another one like this, but instead of the fake, they had real gold pieces.
Mm.
All around it, and then when they fill this, they start putting all around here too, and some in the back and all that.
Decoration.
Yeah, and that's the belt. They put it around the dress, and they have openings to put their money in it, the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that what those openings are for?
Yeah. See how?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's worn.
Yeah.
That's Ramallah now, mm-hmm. And all the towns to the south of it, they were similar dress and her pieces like that. Now, Bethlehem, I told you, I want to show you the
okay.
what they have.
How's it coming?
Breeze.
Uh-huh.
Gentle.
Doing all right, Mr. David?
You don't find it anymore now. You don't, not one woman had that. That's how it is. See, I told you, it's like a fizz, but it will be all gold, like these here.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have it all on here.
Yeah.
And the dresses, usually, it's like that, like the, not like this one here. This is, I got it from, like, for my daughter as a souvenir from
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a typical fallah, they call it a farmer,
mm-hmm.
native.
Mm-hmm.
This is mine, this is my mom's.
Mm-hmm.
It's the headpiece, I have that. See, the men, it's simple. I have one, they had sent it for my son.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the men used to wear.
Mm-hmm.
After now, you will find that.
Mm. That's nice material as well.
Yeah, very heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And too, that won't be worn every day now. The good,
mm-hmm.
good material and... you know, something practical for every day, something easy to wash and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to leave the some dressy ones for occasions, for churches and going places. And okay.
Yeah.
That's a shame. I hate it. You won't see not one woman having that now.
It's this,
I don't know what
headpiece you're talking about.
Yeah, the headpiece. Very seldom you won't see nothing. Even the dress in Bethlehem. Even the dress in Bethlehem, which I hated, you wouldn't see that either.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it were in souvenir stores hanging, you know, very, very old. And they are asking lots of money for them. Very old
mm-hmm.
dresses
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hanging in the souvenir places. Get my jacket, Mama. It's that velvet jacket. That's what they wear on top of that. Mm-hmm. Also handmade. The green. The green. It's in the closet, in my closet. Mm-hmm. That's Bethlehem work. Mm-hmm. And Bethlehem is well-known. Bethlehem and another two small villages next to it. One is called Beit Jahra and the other one Beit Sahur. They do that work. She's going to get you that jacket and you mm-hmm. will see it.
Mm-hmm. When you came to this country, did you continue embroidery as well?
Well, occasions. Once in a while, when, mm-hmm. when I had the pieces, I'll sit down and embroider when I want to. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, 2 years ago, we had a festival. Mm-hmm. We're planning to have one this year, too. And so we wanted...
Yeah, we're going to send you a card. Where is it? He'll get his card?
Yeah, I have it. I have his card.
You will enjoy it.
Great, I'm sure.
So for the festival, we wanted, you know, to show the people here our culture and mm-hmm. our embroidery and stuff like that. So we organized a committee, a few ladies of us, and we used to go every week, meet in the club, and embroider some, like, aprons and stuff like that. We saw them at the festival. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a few pieces this year, too, mm-hmm. I hope.
Tell me a little more about the Ramallah Club and how it was founded and how long ago it was founded.
My husband can fill you more on that, yeah. when it was founded.
About Ramallah Club?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it was around 1954, mm-hmm. if I remember good, you know.
Yeah.
We used to meet at Salam Club, they call it, you know, Syrian Club.
Yeah.
It wasn't Salam Club, it was yeah. Syrian Club. There is a building, you know, like a small hall on top of 16th and Main.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah. Yes, I know what you mean.
You know, I think they tore it down now or something. You know, but, and then, you know, the guys, you know, they get together and they want to have our own, you know, club, you know, instead of going always asking, you know, the Syrian, you know, to use their club, you know, for their meeting. So they get together and each one contribute some money. And there was a rich man, you know, in here. He said, whatever you put in, whatever you collect, I'll put the rest. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you put half, I put half.
Yeah.
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 So they found it was the office, really, you know, on Beach Boulevard.
Atlantic.
On Atlantic Boulevard, you know, where Regency Square now, mm-hmm. like you're going to the beach, you pass Regency, just about two, three blocks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
On the right-hand side. Now it is, I think, more, you know. Mm-hmm. They sell building materials and things.
Oh,
like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not
but it was a small office, you know.
Arabic.
So I think they bought it for about $21,000 it was then.
Not bad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they put up the money and they bought it. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. the reason they did, too, because the community here enlarged. Before, when they used to meet
it
was
very,
a small
very
community.
Few, you know, it was very
they started,
small
you know, after the 48th War, you know. More people were started immigrating. Mm-hmm. And before, the men used to come and leave their families there, and they'll go and visit every year, mm-hmm. visit their families. Mm-hmm. But after the war, they started bringing their families with them.
We had, we used to, you know, meet in there, and every time, you know, put up little money to build a hole in mm-hmm. the back. We mm-hmm. we used to have mostly, you know, like picnics.
Yes.
You know, go make picnics and sell the food. Everybody brings something, you know, with him. It will be, you know, free, you know, mm-hmm. To the club. Mm-hmm. But when you go there, and then you buy your dinner, and but you pay for it.
Right.
Anyway, we saved enough money, and we build a hole behind it, mm-hmm. a small hole behind it.
Rainbow.
And we took it from there. And it was very successful. You know, we have parties, and we got singers and things like that, you know. And mm-hmm. Always we try to save a little money, you know. Mm-hmm. We bought a piece of land beside us over there, so we'll have a big room. And then they built Regency Square. And that was the turning point, you know. Mm-hmm. We have about $59,000, $60,000
in our... Excuse me, I just want to turn the... Wow.
Yeah.
And what happened after that when you had
when they built, when they built Regent Square, you know, that's, before it was like in the country, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right.
We wouldn't allow our women to go over there, a meeting over there at night, because it was scary, you know.
Yeah.
It's dark, and but they used to meet in the daytime, in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when Regent Square come over there and all them shops, you know, and the mall over there built it, then we start having demand, you know, about if you want to sell the land, if you want to sell the land. We never thought about it, you know, we never thought. But we have so much pressure on us, you know, and until we finally said, why not? You know, this is a small place here. We could improve ourselves, you know. Why do we want
to
stay in this place here, this small place? So we took that $59,000, you know, around $60,000, we took it. And we had a committee, you know, to go look around for a piece of land, you know, for the next club. Until we found that on Parental Home Road, the one it is now. And we bought it. It was around 5 acres. And it cost around that much. I think 59 something it was. We bought it, and meanwhile, you know, the people... we have some people to talk about the, with the real estate people about that property. Until finally decided that, you know, we all agreed it was a good price. I think it was about $205,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So we sold that. We sold it. We took the money. But we didn't have enough, you know, to build a new hall the way we want it. You know, we want a big hall for us, for the future generation, and so everybody will be comfortable. You don't have to excuse me every time, you know. We want to have a big hall and nice club. So we were, one night we have a meeting at the church, you know, talking about, he said, we cannot borrow, you know, any money from the bank. They hardly give, you know, charitable organizations, and there is no backing, you know, behind it. And, so we said, why don't we just pledge everybody, you know, put so much. So everybody, is, this one he put $1,000, this one put $1,000, this one $500, this one. It was like a loan. It's not give it to the club. It was like a loan with no interest.
Yeah, yeah.
So that night, believe it or not, it was just very few of us, you know, and we collected the... $146,000.
Wow, that's great.
That's the honest truth, you know. And we start building from there. And now, you ever been to the club?
No, I have not.
You will be surprised.
Hmm.
I swear, it is a big club. I think it got the biggest hole, you know, in all of Jacksonville. It hold easy about 600-700 people, you know, with ease, with a stage and.
Tell me, both of you, some of the activities of the club that go on, some of the things that happen there.
Well, most of the time it is
regular meetings we have every month.
You know, the ladies, they have once a month meeting. We have twice a month, the first and third Sunday of the month we have a meeting. And we have pool tables, and we have... a ping pong table, and we have TV, and the old people, they go and play necrame, you know, that gin rummy, I don't know what you call it.
Hand rummy and gin rummy and West. Just, and
you ever heard of it?
Yes.
West, and you know, but that is the, after the meeting, you know. It's like get together. That's all it is. Everybody get to see everybody's
then
working.
We have our parties. We have the New Year party, for instance, Christmas parties.
Parties and picnics.
Occasions
and
for
all
the
that.
Children, you know, we have like Easter party for the children, Christmas party for the children. We have all that in our club, and then we have the New Year party for all the members in our club, and weddings, some of the weddings are... our weddings and others too. It's rented too. But anyway, we use it for weddings, or we have guests from outside, out of town, and we would like to honor the guests, take them to the club, and
have a party for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's always there is some kind
activities
of activities
going
you know,
on.
Mm-hmm. You know, for the kids, trying to get you know our people together. It is mm-hmm. trying to hold on to our traditions.
Some of our,
yes. least,
some
you
of
know.
Our traditions, at
trying,
least.
You know,
that's right.
Doing our best. It's not easy, you mm-hmm. know, but we're trying our best, trying to hold on to it, keep us together. You know, mm-hmm. she told you we are just like one family.
Yes, from Ramallah.
She told you, Ramallah, yeah. it's just like one family, and all of them, everybody
came
connected.
Came from one father.
When they have, we have a convention in San Francisco
yeah.
this year, in
oh,
San
yeah.
Francisco, big convention. And they put the headline, you know, the biggest family get together in the United States.
It's true.
In the world, I
in
think.
The world, it is.
Well, how big is the city of Ramallah?
Oh, it started with about 3,000-4,000 people now.
Mm-hmm.
But now here in the United States is more than that. You know,
oh,
there's
yeah.
more of us here than it's over there.
Huh.
Over there, you know, it's just about taken over by the Muslims. You know, they come from other villages and all that. They come
yeah.
over there and our people over there, most of them, they have relatives here.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring them over here. It is the... Take me, you know, I have my brother, he's still over there, my sister. But he is a doctor, you know, and he's very well financially, you know, and he's very comfortable and he likes it over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's good life.
If he leaves
know.
Other, if he leaves, he's going to lose his land. So he
my
has
man.
To stay there to mm-hmm. take care of his land, too. Mm-hmm.
You were mentioning that the club tries to promote the traditions. I'm wondering which ones, which do you think are the most important that should be preserved and passed on to your children?
Tradition?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I tell you, we try to keep them, you know, like marriages, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We do our best, you know, to get married, you know, like one of our girls, you know, a boy, you know, get married one of our girls.
Mm-hmm.
This way, you know, the families, you know, they get close together and they will live happily ever after because it is not only, just like here, you know, you meet a girl, you get to know her, you take her out and you love her and she loves you, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You get married, you don't even know her family, you know, some of them, mm-hmm. They don't know her family, she don't know your family. You just met and you love each other and you get... But us, you know, it is no, it is the families, you know.
Yeah, we stress too much on family relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They get
too
together,
much.
They'll be closer. They get married over there, but the family itself will be even closer than them, you know.
Uh-huh.
It'll be, you know, it's just
before.
Like Mark Twain, you know, what he said, East is East and West is West, you know. It
mm-hmm.
is, we try, some of our boys, but it is very hard to keep up with that. There is a lot of our boys, they...
Mm-hmm.
They got married, you know, Americans and some girls, you know, married Americans. They don't know.
Like
right,
before,
you know?
It was very hard. You know, we will not allow our children to date, even date our own people too. You know, dating was out of the question
mm-hmm.
back home and here.
Yeah.
But now we're getting a little bit, you know, more lenient because you cannot do that. You cannot stop them from dating or.
They
but
got,
it will be hard still. You know, even when they go out, you know, on dates. Still, we don't care too much for it
mm-hmm.
until they are engaged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when they are engaged, that's fine, but not before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Yeah. What about the language? Are you teaching that through the club at all?
Oh, we used to. We tried it, you know. We tried it 2-3 times. To,
mm-hmm.
We have some good teachers in there. And then the first time, the second time, there was a good class. But later on, they start busy, you know, especially summertime. They want to go to the beach, they want to go to the lake. It's getting less and less and less and,
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
until he gets tired. He
it's
said,
a shame.
I'm not going to...
But we
I'm
try to speak the Arabic language at home.
Mm-hmm.
We try.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, they used to speak it very well. But when they go to school and they start mixing up with the other students, play with them, they come here, they come home, and then they go out and play together... They forget it, little by little.
Mm-hmm.
When they were little kids, I tell you, they used to even sing our songs, you know.
Hmm.
Now they don't, they talk it funny even now. If they ever talk it, it'll be kind of funny coming out of them.
Yes, yes.
It is getting harder on them.
Mm-hmm.
My boy, he used to know it very good, and then he forgot it completely.
Mm-hmm.
He had to take a course in Gainesville over there.
Oh, yeah.
But they do understand whatever you tell them,
they
understand it.
Yeah.
Because we make it our business, you know. at the beginning, like he said, we used to speak with them all the time in Arabic in order for them to grasp some of the words at least and the meanings and all that. But when they started going to school, it became hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're confused between the two languages. It was very hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we started speaking to them in English and in Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
But they do understand it, and they speak it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Our language is very hard.
It's a hard language.
You know, I mean, you don't bring them. It's very hard to keep up with it. It is hard. So they find it easier just to go with the English language.
And mm-hmm. Did you two speak English before you came to America?
Yes, I was in an American school over there.
Oh, yes.
Friends Boys School.
Friends Boys School. It is sponsored by the Quakers here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in English over there.
Mm-hmm. Do you have knowledge of other languages besides English and Arabic?
No. They do, although they do teach French. Some of the schools we have, like non-schools, and they are... Mm-hmm. They do teach French there, French, English, and Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
But his school and the school that I graduated from, English was stressed. I was in a private school and he was in a private school. The public schools, they teach English, but they don't teach it from the first grade or from kindergarten, from the fourth grade up. Well, in our school, the one that I graduated from and the one he graduated from, we start from kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching us English, and after the seventh grade, everything will be in English. All we don't take the Arabic except as a language only,
mm-hmm.
like history, geography, or sciences, math. Everything will be in English. That's all,
mm-hmm.
because most of the students that graduated from our school and his school, these public, private schools. They went abroad, you know, to either Europe or to America to finish their education,
mm-hmm.
or to Beirut, the American University of Beirut. So mm-hmm. they have to have a good background in English.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we were talking the other day, you were telling me about the coins and other things that were passed on in marriage, and the fact that you had bought like your bracelet
mm-hmm.
with your daughters in mind. I think.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little more about that and how strong a tradition that is, passing on objects like that?
Okay, yes. When a girl is married, first of all, she has her family, the best thing that they could give her, it's gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's her security. They give her gold, whether bracelets, earrings, or whatever. You know, the more they give her, it all depends how well-to-do they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the groom family, the same thing, they give her the groom. It's a custom. The groom will buy a bracelet, at least one good one, a big one, or several small ones, plus the gold band and wedding ring or whatever mm-hmm. it is, in gold, and some chains and pins. And always she has that in mind from the day she is married. She's going to pass that to her children,
mm-hmm.
especially before it used to be to the male, mostly to the male.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the one that's going to carry the name mm-hmm. to the family. Mm-hmm. But now it's getting different. It's different now. It's divided. Whatever she has, she divided it equally between her kids. Like me now, I have my three girls and one son. Ever since they were young, I started buying every time I have somebody. I know of someone coming. I had, like I told you before, my uncle's in Kuwait and his family in Ramallah. Whenever anybody comes, I used to order, please, if you could get me a bracelet. One thing at a time to save for my girls when they get married, so I'll give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Plus what I have, you know, and what I have, it will be divided between all of them equally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it used to be, from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
I had some that was passed to me from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother-in-law, when before she passed away, when he went, my husband went back home in 79 to visit, she sent me a bracelet
mm-hmm.
similar to this mm-hmm. with her initials on it, which I will treasure all my life. This I will pass. My Helen has, my daughter, she has mm-hmm. the same name like her grandmother,
yeah.
Helen. So I'm going to pass it to her. She doesn't know that, but that's what mm-hmm. I'm going to do
mm-hmm.
to, you know.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that that your daughter, Helen, has the same name as your...
Like,
yeah.
Yes, we usually name the first... It's... some people, they choose mm-hmm. that, some people don't, but the majority do. The firstborn, you name it after the father, mm-hmm. the father, like my father-in-law, his father. Mm-hmm. And the girl, firstborn girl, will be named after her grandmother. Mm-hmm. It's up to you whether you want it or not.
It's like love.
Yes, to show that you care for them, you love them.
Grandfather, and I love my father, so I want to remember my father, so I name my boy after my father.
My father-in-law did not believe it.
My father's name is Moses, Musa.
Yeah.
In English, it's like Moses. Mm-hmm. So my son, when he came in, I named him
My father-in-law Moses. Did not believe it. He says, no, I don't believe it. You're not old-fashioned or anything like that. To call your son Musa, I said, yes, it will be an honor for us to call him Musa because we want him to be a great man like you. He was a good man, a very good man. And thank God, my son, I think, is doing all right.
Yeah, he's doing good. What does he do now?
He's studying law. He'll finish this in May.
Great.
Yeah, great. He's doing good. Mm-hmm. So he's carried his grandfather's name. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, we named her after her grandmother, too. Mm-hmm. I told him, when we first got married, he said, I told him, the first boy, I will name him after your father. That was my opinion now. And he can. And I told him, but the second boy will be after my father's name. So we kept trying 3 times after that. It did not work.
We like boys.
My father's name was bad luck probably to me.
We'd rather have boys than have girls. Mm-hmm. But after that comes, you know.
Make the best of it, I guess.
Oh, nothing like them.
What about your own names, Nuhad and Kamal?
I don't know.
Do you know how they were chosen for you?
Oh, my name is well known over there, Kamal. It has, would you believe it? I've seen it on Channel 8, you know, Channel 7, you know, the educational TV mm-hmm. one time. My name, Kamal, the man said, the professor, you know, on TV. He said, for example, you take the name Kamal, and he put it in there, he wrote it on the board. He said, this is Arabic name, and in Arabic it has 5,000 meaning. You believe that?
I've never heard that. Yeah.
I never heard of it either until I saw him on TV here.
Hmm. Well, my name, it's not a very popular name. Hmm. Mostly, it's a male name when it's with the I, Nihad. Mm-hmm. But Nihad with the U. It's a female name, and it's not very popular. That's why it's a very beautiful name. It's not so common. I wasn't named after nobody. My uncle chose that name for me. He was my youngest uncle and my father's favorite brother. So when I was born, he asked him, he said, what would you like me to name my baby? Mm-hmm. He said, I would like you to name her Nuhad. And he said, all right. And I was named... Mm-hmm. He chose the name for me, and after nobody. Mm-hmm. And Kamal is not after nobody. Mm-hmm. He's not, no. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, some chose to name their firstborn after their parents, some did not.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's something that we all have, and there are usually stories about how names came into being.
Like you have, for instance, here, Nick Jr. or Senior and all that. That's mm-hmm. that's exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that many Arabian people here in Jacksonville are associated with the restaurant business in one way or another. Are there other occupations that people have gone into more than others?
Oh. Well, I tell you, this one here, when my father and his friend, they came over here, they don't know any... You know, any work, you know, I mean, like... Mm-hmm.
They didn't have no profession.
No professional. You know, no plumbers, no air conditioner. We didn't have any of that, you know. And so they used to go dry goods salesmen. Mm-hmm. You know, they go and they load up their car with dry goods, you know, all kind of like, you know, clothes for to make pants, mm-hmm. window shades, bed covers, you know, bedspreads.
Yeah,
bedspreads and all these. They used to fill them up and then they go outside on the country over there where they didn't have no stores and all that, and they go from house to house. Mm-hmm. They knock on the doors and try to sell them. Mm-hmm. And they were successful, you know. What money they make, they send it over there, mm-hmm. to the old country, you know, to their families. That's how they used to support them over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, little by little, and then after that, they start bringing their own families here.
Mm-hmm.
When they start bringing their own families, it was kind of hard for the man to go for 2-3 mm-hmm. months, because mm-hmm. they used to travel 2-3 months at a time, you know.
Stay. Yeah.
They go to Mississippi for the cotton season.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Michigan for the cherry season. They go to Georgia for
peaches, pecans, and all
pecans
those.
And peaches and all. Mm-hmm. They go one yeah. season over there. They go over there. When it's over, they go to like Mississippi. The cotton season mm-hmm. over there. They go. And it was very hard for them to go 3 months at a time, you know. So they said, well, we better settle here, you know, so I can, you know, stay with the family, you know, look after them. So the best way for them, since they don't know any other profession, is a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, they start buying one after the other. All it takes from our people is just one guy to open something, and we are just like the sheep behind them. Everybody else follow, and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
In a few years, you see, just about most of the stores, the small stores in Jacksonville, it was owned by Syrians or, you know, Ramallah people or Lebanese or something like that. It was, and then I would say about 1962, 1964, after Kennedy and Johnson
mm-hmm.
give more freedom to the, you know, black people, most of our stores used to be in the black section.
Mm-hmm.
So they start getting more bold, you know. They start coming in there and hold you up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting more frequent, you know. Mm-hmm. For example, when I came in here, I opened a store here. I borrowed some money from some relatives of mine, opened a store. It was on King's Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing good, you know, very nice people. I used to sell beer inside, and the people, my friends, you know, customers, you know, black people, they come and sit with me until I close up. And they put me in, I get in the car and I drive, I tell them bye, you know, they stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, you know, I don't know if you remember, you know, when they have trouble here, you know, blacks, you know, start mm-hmm, mm-hmm. burning
toward
the avenue.
67.
Yeah.
When King
it started yeah. start getting dangerous, you know. It start every 2-3 weeks, you know, I get held up. Every 2-3 weeks, I get held up. Every time, you know, I'm by myself. It happened to be I'm by myself in the store. You can bet somebody gonna come and hold me up.
Mm.
And it's getting dangerous. One guy, one time, he fired at us. He was drunk, you know. Two of them held me up,
mm-hmm.
put us in the bathroom. Me and there is a customer.
Yeah.
And he wanna warn us not to go out after it. We have to wait in there 15 minutes.
For something cold to drink.
Sure.
Would you like beer, wine, or soft drink? Really, whatever you like.
Oh, soft drink.
Give him harak. You want to our drink?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly.
Might
what
as well. He want to know about ours, so bring him. And he want to warn us like that, and he was drunk, and he fired. I mean, you know, just between the distance between me and you, that's all.
Mm.
I have a small bathroom, you know, at that time. And we were both of us standing over there, just God, you know, he looked after us. I swear, just God, he looked after us. And the bullet, we heard it, you know, was between us, and it come on the wall in there. And I just got married, you know, and have a little baby. I said, it is not worth it.
Yeah.
That's when I put it for sale and I sold it. And I look around, after I sold it, I look around, and there was two people from our
you
people, they have a sandwich place.
No,
مش من هذا, من هذا
the other one?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. This is open, this
and there were two people, they had a sandwich place.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them successful, so I went and got me a sandwich place.
Yeah.
And some of my friends, they come in to visit me, and they saw me, you know, doing all right. They got a sandwich place. Now we got, among our people, there was about, I would say about 50, 60, if not more, you know, sandwich
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to yeah. smell it.
Well, that's nice. I like that.
I tell you.
is from Ramallah.
Yeah, this is from Ramallah.
Ah.
From our people. It is well known there.
Now, what do you call that?
Arak.
Oh, yeah.
Arak.
A-R-A-K in English.
A-R-A-K. Mm-hmm. What is it written in... What
else? Golden Arak.
Oh. I'm going to put you a little bit, and then you can put more if you want, okay?
Great.
So this one here is the Lebanese.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
This one here. Mm-hmm. But it is no way compared to that. That is the best.
This is really? Prejudice now.
No, okay. I'm not that. That's the honest truth. It is.
Would you like some? You
yeah,
some?
Yeah, I'll drink some with him.
Let me put you some ice.
It's a little like ouzo?
Yeah. It's about that, but I think it's better than ouzo. You ever tried it?
Not ouzo? This, no. Oh, ouzo, uh-huh.
You try, well, I think you like this one better.
Put your son. I think put your.
You put the arak first, and then you put the ice.
Oh, I don't know that. That's, okay.
Why don't you teach some?
What? Okay, teach me.
Another tradition, huh?
Yeah.
No, that's from here we learn it. You're supposed
to
put
that.
Oh.
The arak first, and then you put the ice. This way it'll stay white, you know. And, uh-huh. But if you put the ice. And you put the arak on top of it, after a while it's kind of like crack up, you know, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, Mr. David, I'm not bragging, but our people, they are good people. You know, it is, it's, you can go to the courthouse over there and look in the records, you know, way back, 20, 30 years, you won't see any, you know, from our people, murderer or a kidnapper, or molester, or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You will never see any of that. How we used to, you know, we used to violate the law is, we used to sell beer on Sunday.
Well, that's not too much of a violation.
It's not much, no.
Mm-hmm.
But we were coming over here, and we were broke, and we have to make, yeah. We have to make a living, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
a start. Yeah. It's no bargain,
this
but it used to have.
That's ours now. That's not yours. That's what you call it.
Watermelon seeds.
Watermelon seeds, roasted.
Oh, those are nice.
It is. You don't eat it like that. You have to split it and eat the one in the middle, which is very hard. I'd rather eat till this.
I have the bigger ones that I brought with me from Ramallah.
Mm-hmm. Is there much Arabic music around Jacksonville? Are there people who play it?
Oh, yeah. We have
a group here, yes.
We have two good groups in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
In Jacksonville, you mean? We have.
Oh, we have one group. You know, just
we usually get from outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We every time we have a nice party. We have a nice group that all our youth like them. They're the Corey brothers from Fort Lauderdale, I think they come, or Miami. And then we have a good looking, look at that.
Let me try it.
Hey.
I prefer this to everybody. Not for their voice sensation, but...
And really, the teenagers, they're crazy about them.
Mm-hmm.
Boys or girls, both of them. And
they are young guys, two young guys, yeah. Mr. David. You will never believe it. It's hard to believe. Two young guys,
mm-hmm.
they cannot speak one word Arabic. They don't understand it, but they put that record, you know, and they keep it in
their mother teach them, Kevin.
Their mother, she teaches them the Arabic in English.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she writes
you know,
them in English.
In other words, she writes them the words, you know.
Yeah.
It will be Arabic words, but she writes them in English.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they keep practicing, and they are very, very good singers, I tell you.
Mm. They are good. They don't understand the word they are singing.
Huh.
But the way they sing it, you think they came from Lebanon.
Mm.
And we have entertainers in Chicago, in Detroit, in New York,
mm-hmm.
all over, we get them.
Are there people here in Jacksonville who play Arabic instruments, but
yes.
maybe don't perform?
Yes, and they perform uh-huh. too. We have a group. I don't know the name of his group, but his name is Fahed Awais.
Oh, yes,
he has
I've
a sandwich shop. You
yeah.
did?
Yeah.
Okay, he sings. Mm-hmm. He's an entertainer, and he mm-hmm. has a small group with him.
Mm-hmm.
We bring them when we are desperate. There isn't no one, you know. No, he's okay. He sings real good. I like the guy very much.
No, he's just coming out. He's just coming out.
He just started. I like mm-hmm. him. He is good. But his instruments,
sorry.
They're not first class.
I
didn't
even know you smoke. I got
some.
No, it's some tape here. I don't smoke.
I thought you smoked.
No, it's just recording tape.
Oh.